Wow, what a night. I mean, I'm still trying to recuperate from last week's Real Life, Gina Pastore.
And David James.
We were talking about transgender issues last week with Dr. Mark Baker.
Yes, this is Real Life. We talk about real life stuff.
And tonight, now, we're talking about an issue, ooh, too, that all of us, you know, we might not struggle with those issues we talked about last week, but certainly all of us struggle with forgiveness.
We do.
And I want to know.
Have.
Do you?
I have.
No, that Gina, you've never struggled with forgiveness. Come on.
I know you think I'm perfect, Dave, but I'm not.
Oh.
No, actually, I would have to say that's one of the issues in my Christian walk where I have struggled probably the most. And it's been when, say, people have done something to harm my husband or my children. For myself, not so much. But don't mess with the people I love. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, that has been a terrible struggle for me.
Yeah, looking for forgiveness or granting forgiveness.
Yes.
My question, though, is, and I think all of us, I struggle with that. Dr. Mark Baker.
We have Dr. Mark Baker back with us.
Levie Counseling.
Yes.
Does forgiveness, right out of the gate, if I say I'm going to forgive somebody, does that equate to reconciliation and you can come back into my life and everything's okay and we're going to, like, it never happened, you know, from Tangled. Mm. Remember that line?
Mm-hmm.
It never happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does forgiveness equate to reconciliation right off the bat?
Absolutely not. Those are not the same thing at all. And we struggle with that a lot in the church because we're commanded to forgive, and so we do, and yet we still struggle. I know everybody who's thinking about this subject at all has forgiven someone, and then you've prayed, you believe it, you're honest, and you've forgiven them, and then someone mentions their name 2 days later, and you get that feeling in your stomach, you know, that little, you know, and then you have to go back and forgive them again, and then you pray and ask God to forgive them again, and then somebody mentions their name again later, and there's that feeling again, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. There are two levels of forgiveness. The first is the biblical mandate to not return hurt for hurt, and that's forgiveness.
Yes.
Where you can decide in your heart to forgive anyone right now. Anybody listening to this right now who has a resentment towards someone can decide in your heart on your own to forgive them. They don't even have to know about it. Right? That's the biblical mandate. I'm not going to wish them ill. I'm going to forgive them and wish them well because God's commanded me to do that.
Yes.
Now, if you still carry around those uneasy feelings in your stomach when somebody mentions their name and you get that weird feeling and you don't really want to go, you see them going into church as you're going in and you wait, hang back so you won't run into them, you know, that's because you're not reconciled to them. And that's the second level of forgiveness, which is reconciliation, and that requires work. You cannot be reconciled to someone on your own. You can't do it just in your own, you know, house, praying on your knees. You cannot be reconciled to someone. It requires a process where the other person has to participate in it.
So reconciliation can't happen with only one person.
Right.
It's got to happen with both.
Correct.
So what do you do in a situation where the other person you cannot reconcile with them because they won't maybe admit that they've harmed you or hurt you?
Right.
Or
those are the difficult cases.
Yes.
There are several difficult cases. One is, what if they're dead? And they're not around anymore, hopefully in heaven, or let's say they don't want to reconcile, or what if it's unsafe to reconcile with them?
Okay.
What if it's a dangerous person who will just keep hurting you?
Yes.
You don't want to place yourself in a relationship with them and talk to them.
Yes.
There are lots of reasons why you might not be able to do the work with that person. And then in those cases, usually the person you have to reconcile with is the one that's in your head, the one that you're carrying around, the image of them.
Mm.
For me, you know, I was unreconciled with my father for many years, and it wasn't that 80-year-old man living in Leisure World. It was the 45-year-old one in my head, you know, that kept condemning me and kept saying things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to reconcile with the image of him in my head.
Okay.
That's one. And the other one is, for people who are dangerous or we can't reconcile with because we can't enter into a relationship with them today, we can often do that work with a stand-in, meaning a pastor or a men's group does a lot of this work in my men's group. We do a lot of reconciling with people that it's not safe for us or they're dead and gone. Or in therapy. A lot of what we do in therapy is the reconciliation work where I'm basically the stand-in for that person. And you can work through the process to a great extent with someone who will work through the feelings, a person that will work through the feelings with you.
Give us a definition of what forgiveness is. Let's dive into what that definition of forgiveness really means.
Well, like I said, there's two levels. The first level of forgiveness is, I said, the simplest working definition is not returning hurt for hurt.
So which means?
I don't wish them ill. Even though this person has hurt me, I've decided, I make a decision not to get even, not to wish them ill. I'm going to pray that God blesses them because I've released them. And what you're releasing them from is resentment. Now, here's the tricky part. The most often, the reason we resent someone is because we or someone we love has felt personally demeaned. We don't resent earthquakes. We don't resent tornadoes. We resent people. Yes. And we resent people because I feel now I have been personally demeaned, put down, humiliated, insulted, and something inside of me wants to get even. So that's resentment. The core of resentment is retaliation. And the only reason we would want to retaliate or resent someone is because now there's some doubt inside our own selves that maybe, maybe we deserve it. So the core of resentment is self-doubt. It's like, now you've damaged me, you've demeaned me, and I've got to prove you wrong. I'm not going to let you get away with that. And the reason I would do that is because now I have self-doubt. You know, maybe I have not been fair. Maybe I have not been everything that I should be. And the reason people get stuck resenting people for their life for a lifetime is they don't realize this. They think it's that other person is a bad person. That's why I resent them. No, it's because you feel demeaned and you're the self-doubt that's entered your own mind makes you want to believe it's the other person. You want to distract the issue. It's not about me. I didn't deserve that. You deserve that. And the only way we can release ourselves from that resentment is to realize that. And this is the psychological brilliance in Jesus. He said this. He said, why are you so concerned about the speck in the other person's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? He got it. It's like the real issue when you resent someone is the log in your own eye. You've got issues with yourself. That's why you can't forgive, is because you have an issue with yourself and you got to dig deep into yourself with humility to release that resentment. And so you see how difficult that is. So people go a whole lifetime resenting someone.
Right. It's interesting because as I was driving in today, I was listening to a talk show and they were talking about a woman that had forgiven the man, actually a 16-year-old boy that had murdered her sister and her brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, at times it seems almost easier to forgive a situation like that, as horrible as it is, because it was a random act of evil. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was a random act of evil. It almost seems easier to forgive those big things sometimes than the little things. And does it have to do with when you allow a person into your life and they're close to you, mm-hmm. and then they hurt you?
Right, because then it's more personal.
Yes.
Right. And then you feel personally betrayed, personally, like I said, demeaned. That's the key thing.
Yes.
If you feel demeaned in some way, betrayed, belittled by someone that you trusted, now it really hurts because it's personal.
Yes.
Whereas if it's easier when it's not personal, if you don't take it personally, it's not about me.
Right.
It's about his upbringing. It was about his sin. It was about him. It's easier to forgive people than when you feel personally demeaned. And this is the key. Now there's a bit of self-doubt about your own worth that enters your own mind. That makes you really dig in and resent that other person. You know, they're the bad person. I didn't deserve that. And we become self-righteous because we doubt our own self-worth.
But what about if this person really does do things, say they're going around behind your back, demeaning you and gossiping about you,
right.
And it's happening all the time.
Right. But the real issue is, does it cause you to doubt yourself? Why is it that Jesus Christ on the cross was spat on, they beat him up, they ripped his clothes off, and he never resented anyone? He deserved, if anybody deserved to resent people, he was unjustifiably killed. He never resented anybody. Why? That never caused him to doubt his own self-worth.
Wow.
He knew he was God.
Wow.
So he could say, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm good over here. I got no self-doubt with me. So he didn't resent them, even though they were going behind his back and saying bad things and trashing him, because it didn't cause him to doubt himself.
Okay.
So there was no need to resent. He could easily say, Father, forgive them.
So if it's fascinating. If you were to, and by the way, if you struggle with forgiveness, reach out on Facebook, Gina Pastore Radio. We want to hear from you because you're not alone, as we started out the show.
You're going to find a comrade in that whole thing.
There is community right there, brother and sister, let me tell you. But how do we forgive someone who continues to wrong that way, though? Maybe there's someone that literally does treat our child or an adult child horribly, miserably.
Right.
And that constantly happens.
Right.
And we have to offer forgiveness over and over and over again. They're not asking for it.
Right.
But it continues to happen. How do we deal with that? Because that happens a lot our life.
Well, there's a difference between forgiveness and accountability. That, yes, I think we should continue to forgive and yet still hold people accountable for their behavior.
Yes.
There's a difference between blame and accountability. Now, if I blame people, then I'm going to resent. That's focus in the past, where I'm focusing on what you did in the past. That's different from accountability, which is forward-looking. Going forward, I'm going to hold you accountable to your behavior. Your behavior is wrong, it's ungodly, it's sinful, and so we're going to set boundaries for your behavior. I forgive you for what you've done in the past. I'm not blaming you, but I'm holding you accountable going forward. This is wrong behavior.
Oh, man, I want to dive. We got to go to a break here. We've got to dive into that. Because we want to know, I want to know what Scripture Doctor has to say about setting those boundaries and what that looks like, because there's a lot of abuse happening.
Yes.
In the church.
Oh, yeah.
The statistics show there's a ton of abuse happening.
Yes.
What do you do with the forgiveness versus the boundaries versus reconciliation?
And holding people accountable.
Yes. Right. All right. It's more of Real Life with Gina Pastore and David James, along with Dr. Mark Baker. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Life, Gina Pastore and David James. We're talking forgiveness and accountability and reconciliation and boundary setting.
Yes.
Hey, we got it all covered tonight, Gina, when it comes to that. And I think forgiveness, correct me if I'm wrong, I think forgiveness is thrown around, especially in the church, by pastors just flippantly sometimes. Just, just forgive and move on. Get over it.
Right. But we don't know how to forgive. Mm. And we all think our situations are, but this happened and that happened and, you know.
Yeah,
so we need help with that.
And throw it away. Say forgiveness and get over it.
You
know, there's a lot of abuse, Dr. Mark Baker, from Love You Counseling in the church, whether it's verbal, emotional, spiritual, a lot of stuff like that. And that forgiveness is not just a Band-Aid, just get over it type thing.
Well, you're right. We actually abuse the word forgiveness in the church because we substitute other things. Excusing people is not forgiving them. Going in denial about stuff is not forgiving them.
Right.
Tolerating stuff is not forgiving them. Forgetting even isn't forgiving. And even accepting people, that's not forgiving. Forgiving is seeing the wrong for what it is and forgiving it. We forgive people for wrongdoing. We don't excuse it, forget it, tolerate it, or sweep it under the carpet. And righteous indignation is a part of it. We as righteous people will and should get angry in the face of wrongdoing. You know, Jesus said, you know, if your hand offends you, you cut it off. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dramatic. He would make dramatic things. We aggressively attack wrongdoing, and we should get upset. So when someone offends me, I get angry about that, but that's righteous indignation. That's, okay, this is wrong, and if Jesus were here, he'd be turning tables over. He'd be really mad about this.
Yes.
And so I forgive you for that wrongdoing. So unless you acknowledge the wrongdoing, it isn't forgiveness. It's excusing, tolerating, forgetting, and a lot of other things that are just games. And the healing work of forgiveness can't take place until we first acknowledge the wrongdoing and sometimes get mad about it.
What happens if that other person never acknowledges that, though? And you want so desperately, Gina, you're talking about, you know, there's a friend of yours that it was a betrayal type thing years ago with Frank and stuff going on. And still when that name is mentioned or you see that person, you want to go and, you know, just do something physical. But, I mean, it's one of these aspects where that pain is so deep, that person could care less.
And sadly, we were never able to have reconciliation.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's the first choice, is reconciliation, which, as I said, is a process. There are three things necessary to reconcile with someone. The first is truthfulness. Mm-hmm. You have to start with truthfully telling how you feel. That means I have to say how I feel, and you have to say how you feel. And unless I know how you feel and you know how I feel, we can't reconcile.
Right.
It can't happen unless there's this ground of truthfulness. Then comes repentance. Mm. And as you know, the Greek word is metanoia. Mm-hmm. It means change of mind. Mm-hmm. Psychologically, what that means is I see it differently.
Mm.
You know, biblically, it means I was going this way, I changed my mind, I'm going this way. Psychologically, it means, oh, I never saw it that way before.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You felt that? I didn't know that. I've changed my mind.
And a lot of times that can't come unless you have communication
you
with that person.
You have to have communication.
Right.
It's a process of communication that gets you to the third phase, which is a mutual understanding of our pain.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I can't reconcile with you is because I don't really believe you know how much you've hurt me. That's why people can't reconcile. And unless you come through those processes to a mutual understanding of our pain, I can't be reconciled. Because I'm always going to believe, you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't know what you've done. And so there's that gap between us. And it's only when the other person goes, oh my gosh, I never knew I hurt you that much. I never knew that that was so humiliating. I see that now. I never saw it that way before. And then they say, please forgive me. Now you can be reconciled.
Oh, but it's very important we remember that, because I think all of us, and I'm included, I'll raise both hands. Forgiveness, if I forgive somebody, all of a sudden, oh, we should be reconciled. But
no,
that is so far removed from the truth.
Well, look at it this way. God has forgiven the whole planet, but the whole planet's not reconciled to God because they haven't participated in the process.
Right.
Right.
It takes two people to participate in the process.
Yes.
We're all forgiven, but we're not all reconciled.
Let me ask you this. Define a toxic person.
Someone who, for you, is poisonous. So someone who doesn't produce growth, but actually thwarts growth in you.
Okay.
So someone who blocks growth in you.
Okay. So it's subjective to you.
It's, yeah, because someone who's toxic to me might not be to you.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, there are people in my life I've decided we are not good. And that's important to say, too. After even reconciliation, you can go through all those processes I just said and reconcile with someone and say, and it is not good for us to be together. You know, I'm going to, accountability clicks in here. And let's just agree, or I'm telling you, that it's not good for us to continue to be in relationship.
Okay.
Because it's not good. We are not good. And you don't have to be judgmental. You can just say, it's not good for me to continue in a relationship with you, even though we're reconciled.
It just seems like in our day and age, I hear this a lot with the younger kids, they throw out the term, he's toxic, she's toxic, you know. And that putting that little label on that person then just makes it all okay. And, you know.
Well, they're trying to just avoid dealing with the complexity of it.
Right.
And that probably means they need to forgive that person is what it probably means.
Right.
But even still, you might say after all that, and we're not good to be together.
Right.
Forgiveness does not mean you welcome people back into your life. That is not what it means. Forgiveness is you releasing yourself from resentment and participating in the process of reconciliation. And then you need to make the final decision of, should this person be in my life? That's a different decision.
And if that's a friend, you know, or someone that was a friend, or someone that's been close to us in the past, I guess a friend, you know, that's one thing. What about family? What about when that happens with so much happening in the family? With, again, I think flippantly, the church just says, oh, just forgive and welcome them back into your life.
No, it doesn't work that way. We do need to do the work of forgiveness, but the work of forgiveness is to release us from resentment. That's what it's there for. It's not to welcome people back into your life. That's misusing it.
Wow.
Forgiveness, you leave your gift at the altar and go and make peace with your brother so that you can worship God with a pure heart. It's not because I need to be in relationship with everybody on the planet. Trust me, there are people on this planet that are not good for me to be in relationship
with. So you've had that accountability kick in.
That's a huge misunderstanding in the church, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk and address that accountability issue, because that's important.
Yeah, I think we're called to love everyone, but we're not called to like everyone. I mean, there are just certain people that it's not going to work for us. Now, the easy one, for me anyway, the easy one is a physically abusive relationship. I know the church hasn't always done a good job of telling women, look, you need to get out of that situation. The man's beating you. They say you need to forgive him. That's a misapplication of that scripture. What he's doing is sinful. You know, he should not be beating on his wife, and he needs to be held accountable for that. Now, I'm not saying she should divorce. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you don't stay there if he's beating on you.
No.
You hold him accountable, and you go to some place that's safe. You forgive him. You work through the process of reconciliation, but you hold him accountable until this man shows that he is
working on his issues.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. You do not put yourself in an unsafe environment where you can be beaten. This is something we have to deal with. You know, our counseling center.
But say it's verbal.
It can also be true. Of course, people can be verbally abusive, too. And so there'll be people, and then sometimes they're family members, where my counsel would be to be straight with them, be honest with them. And if you still resent them, you have work to do to release yourself from resentment. And you don't cut them off because you're angry with them, and I'm going to have that man's name mentioned in my household again. That's just resentment, right?
Do you know a lot of Italians? Well, we're
never have his name mentioned in this house again. Right?
Man.
That's resentment.
It's real life here. Yeah.
That's not accountability. Yeah. Accountability is you've forgiven them, you've attempted reconciliation, you see that the abusive behavior is continuing, so you hold them accountable. Jesus had, I think, one of the most brilliant psychological insights he had was the tool of forgiveness. And he made it quite clear. It's to release you. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is to get the log out of your own eye so that you can live a freer, more pure-hearted life. It's not for the other person. You're not giving them any gift. You're freeing yourself right. from resentment.
Right.
So, and the question isn't whether or not the other person deserves it. That's not the question.
Yeah.
Do you want to live with hatred and resentment in your own heart?
Wow.
All right, well.
Awesome.
There, Gina, your takeaway coming up next. Ooh. Dr. Baker, wow. What a show. Real Life with Gina Pastore and David James. We're talking forgiveness, accountability, boundary setting tonight on Real Life. We'll be right back. So, welcome back to Real Life, Gina Pastore and David James. Gina, your takeaway on forgiveness, accountability,
and boundaries. This has been a life-changing show for me, because I am going to, I mean, I've heard so many teachings on forgiveness, but I'm really going to concentrate on me and not projecting, you know, all the stuff on the other person. I'm gonna make it more personal about me mm-hmm. and why forgiveness is important for me to do. So, I offer that challenge to my listeners to think about the things that we talked about in the show, and I loved how Dr. Baker talked about Jesus is up there, and he's not going, look what I did for you, and you know, he forgave us, and so it's up to us to enter into that relationship with him, and I like that. It's just so simple and yet so profound.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Mark, you have anything to add, Dr. Baker?
I think it's one of the most underutilized psychological tools we have today. I see so many people agonizing in pain because they're stuck in their own resentment, and that they think forgiveness is for the other person, like they deserve it or they don't deserve it. They've missed the point. Forgiveness is for us to release ourselves from resentment, and I think it could heal nations if we would grasp the profound benefit of forgiveness and releasing ourselves from resentment.
Well, if you are looking for forgiveness or looking for more conversation on that and you struggle with that, and the difference, again, we talked about accountability and boundary setting and all that, reach out to Gina, and we'll get you connected with Dr. Baker at LaVie Counseling, too. You know, so.
Yes, absolutely.
And once again, Dr. Baker's book?
Dr. Baker's book is Jesus, the Greatest Therapist Who Ever Lived.
And you can pick that up.
Has sold over 2 million copies, by the way.
And you can find that everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, yes. Wherever you buy your favorite books.
And if you need any counseling services, I would highly recommend Dr. Mark Baker at LaVie Christian Counseling Centers.
Until we meet again next week.
We'll see you next week, Dave.
See you again on the radio, everyone.
Good night.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.